Welcome to the Spirit School of Ministry podcast, where we discuss discipleship in your everyday life. Hey everyone, David here, along with Pastor Liz.
Hello.
And Pastor Bob Wilk.
Howdy.
And we've just experienced a bunch of natural disasters in our country, especially, I think we did, if we can read the news, But we've had Hurricane Helene, we've had Hurricane Milton, and we thought we should do a podcast talking about what God thinks about all this and how we should think about it as disciples of Jesus. At least that was our hope, that we could shed some light. So we can, you know, hopefully think about these things in a constructive way.
They keep me in a cellar and don't let me out. So this is all new to me. You guys are going to talk about this. This is awesome.
Great.
There's life out there.
There is a nature out there. There is the nature. We will talk about the nature today.
Okay.
The nature.
Okay. So let's talk about it. What are we actually speaking about? When I say natural disasters, Liz, what are we talking about? Like, is this just like a lightning strike, or what are we talking about?
I don't know. I think we're talking about like,
I just think of when you say, I think of Liz when I think of a natural disaster.
I have a prophetic word that I'm the eye of the storm.
See, that's what I mean. It's like,
I do have that.
That's the place of peace, though.
But everything flesh around
and,
you.
Flesh and blood did not reveal this to me then. I'm just confirming that word.
Yes. Yes.
What are we talking about?
I think we're talking about weather events, natural things that happen in the physical earth that are on a grand scale.
Yeah. Yeah. And I even think this could include, I mean, to me, it's like theologians call it natural evil. It's the category. And it could include earthquakes or forest fires or famines. And it could even include disease, because no human being decides that there's going to be a, you know, a natural plague or something like that.
COVID.
I said a natural plague, right? Who knows what it really was, okay? But yeah, so there's a lot of things in this world that no human being chose to happen.
Right.
And so you can't say, well, that's because of, someone decided. That's why there's that evil or that disaster. Mm. These are natural evils or natural disasters.
Swarms of locusts.
That would be totally related, because that would be like a famine and stuff. Yeah. And they're very natural creatures. That would be good. I thought this universe was created by a good God.
He is good.
And he made it good. And he said, this is all very good when he created it. So if this world was created by a good God, why are there natural disasters, Pastor Bob?
Well,
answer me right now.
Since I was back there during that time.
Yeah. In the beginning.
I remember how good it was. Yeah. It was so good. Here we are laughing about natural disasters. We were like, that's pretty freaky.
We're more just laughing at you for people that
yes,
are listening.
I actually believe that all what we call natural disasters should really just come under the heading of death and sin. Mm. I believe until that entered the world because of sin, everything was good. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't any natural. They became natural because the world became natural.
Yeah.
I think it had a supernatural component to it, and probably still does in the beginning, but that supernatural component, much like man, was perfect.
Yeah.
And so there were, so what we call natural now is actually very unnatural.
Yeah.
I don't know if that made sense to
absolutely. Do you want to throw anything else on that?
She's just laughing about natural disasters.
Yeah, no, I'm just laughing.
No, because we it's so interesting how in life, I think this is a very spiritual thing. We're bombarded with the ideas to just accept things. Accept death, accept just, you know, the things, how they're going to end up. And just like, that's how it is. You know, you have to pay taxes and die. And you just get, and so that is a very world view that is just published and pressed into all of everybody that's on the earth and the creation, by the way, which is apparently crying out like, help. This shouldn't be this way, right? But yeah, so I don't know.
Yeah,
Liz, explain me out of this mess that I've created.
I don't have anything to explain. I was just thinking that I know sometimes there's this view of like God created this little like sim game for him to like play around with, mm-hmm. and like, oh, I'm going to send this storm and let's see what happens there. And I'm going to do this to them. And like, mm-hmm. there's this view of him as this very like petty tyrant ruler, you know, who created this world for his enjoyment and his power trips and all of that. But when you, what Bob is saying is like, he created the world perfect and beautiful with, to be a blessing in every way, mm-hmm. to not be a cursing, to be a blessing. And so I think we have to understand like that's God's original intent. That is his will toward mankind, is for them to live in a place that is peaceful and beautiful and lovely and works toward them and with them, not against them.
Yeah.
But just like remembering his original intent is important. Oh yeah.
I think it's important to realize like there are certain elements of a good creation that necessarily can hurt you. So like the fact that water isn't breathable, I mean, that's just what water is. You need water to drink it, but you can drown in it. Mm-hmm. The brick that's heavy enough to build your house can crush your head if it falls on you, right? Like, so there's just elements of God creating the universe that can potentially be dangerous. But I would agree with you guys that because of the curse, they're even more dangerous. You know, in Genesis 3, the ground is cursed because of Adam's sin. So everything that naturally was for good, it can now be totally turned on its head. It can be perverted. And it goes to what you're saying. I mean, you know, no human being decided that a hurricane would happen this week, but Adam decided to sin, right? So it was like a judgment over Adam and everything he was in charge of, which he was put in charge. He was given dominion of the earth, of the atmosphere, right? He was given dominion over that, and he gave it to a different god, Satan, right? And so Satan can then twist God's good things and bring out the evil potential that was there, even though God never intended for that evil potential to be realized, you know? So I think that's one way to look at it, because there are certain things, there's ecosystems, there's weather patterns. Those things didn't have to be, you know, intensified and brought out of their bounds. And, you know, it says in Job that the Lord bounds the oceans and the seas, and those things didn't have to be set loose, but because man had charge over it and we laid it down, it can now go out of whack.
I think the only thing that was really dangerous when Adam and Eve were here on the earth were their wills. Mm-hmm. And it was a free will. That was the only thing that really exposed them to any kind of danger, if you want to put it that way. Because I believe that even scripturally, when there's a new heaven and a new earth, there won't be any death in that. Mm-hmm. So there's no danger to speak of, right? And there's this kind of ultimate peace, I suppose, to the whole universe that isn't nobody's experienced since Adam and Eve. For however long they experienced it.
Right. The curse is gone.
Yeah, it's gone.
Revelation 22, there's nothing accursed at the end of the story.
Yeah. And so I think that, like I said, the danger back then was just that the fact that they had a choice and a will. And I guess in some ways, it's the same danger we have now. Yes, there are physical dangers too, but I think the spiritual danger is much, much more devastating to everyone on the planet than we realize.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
actually.
Yeah, I think there's something called a theodicy, like justifying God and saying, mm-hmm. God is good, even though you see evil in the world. And the most common defense of that, the most common theodicy, is free will defense. Like, evil exists because we have a free will and we've chosen to sin. But some theologians or, apologists or, even skeptics, they say, well, that doesn't apply to natural evil. Nobody chose that. No, like, nobody chose any of these storms or famines to happen or anything like that. But like we're saying, it's still a free will defense, because the whole earth was connected to Adam's sin and to Satan. Satan has a will, So I don't think you have to move away from the free will defense to understand what's going on. Because I've heard people say stuff like, he had to put famines and all this to test us. God had to have ways for our character to be refined. And like, that wasn't the ideal. Like, that wasn't Eden.
Right.
You could pick a fruit off the tree and eat it. It wasn't like none of that was intended.
Yeah. I think it's understanding that the world, as we see it now, is the world removed from God's jurisdiction, not just his authority, mm-hmm. his order. It's a world out of order.
Yeah.
Is really what happened. And it's not that God has this intention to punish the earth. It's that mankind who was given authority over the earth. Ooh, sorry.
Flies are running around there.
Natural pestilence. Evil.
Yeah. Pestilence are coming right here. Oh my God. I'm out of here.
That was Beelzebub.
He doesn't like what you're saying.
Yeah.
Oh, a fly, fly flew in front of Liz.
Almost blew my mouth. Anyway, what was I saying?
World out of order.
The world out of order. Okay. That's really what it is that man and woman who were given the authority of the earth decided to remove it from under the authority, the protection, the covering, all of that of God. And that was a choice that was made that affected everything else. So it is a world that's out of God's order.
I just had a picture when you said that of like a really nice bathroom. That like it says out of order on the door, but people are still going in and using it because it's the only bathroom. Like
that's sad.
And what's that bathroom going to look like after a while? You know? And I mean, if you could think of our universe that way, maybe that's a good way for somebody to think about it. You know?
No, it is. Thinking about, you know, in Eden, like you were saying, and the fruit, it's mind boggling to me that God actually talking about order and authority that he gave man and women. Mm-hmm. Their authority actually was over the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Like not only their stewardship of the tree, they were designed to keep the entire garden, and in the garden was the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they cared for it, and had to care for it. Matter of fact, so to me, it always speaks to their. Ability to steward everything.
Yeah.
And keeping that kind of thing in its place.
Yeah.
But they decided to listen.
Well, they were the priests of the temple, right? So the Garden of Eden was God's temple and they're the gatekeepers.
They were the
gatekeepers. And what happened in Israel when the priests went corrupt and they didn't guard the gates? And I mean, this is what happened to the whole world. It gets repeated over and over again. Right. It gets repeated in the church today.
Well, and us personally.
Yes, our lives, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this, though. We're kind of getting God off the hook here. Mm-hmm. But does God ever...
We got God off.
Does God... He doesn't need to be let off the
We're
hook.
We're defenders of his...
He's got the hook. But does he ever use a natural disaster? Would he ever be the cause of a natural disaster, biblically speaking?
I believe so. That's, you know...
Yeah.
I believe he did.
Doesn't that make him mean, though?
No.
What are some ones that
I don't want to get his negative attention.
What were some ones that God was behind? Can you guys think of any?
Oh yeah, she can.
Well, I think of one called the flood. Yeah. That was a pretty big one.
Mm-hmm.
That was
that wasn't that big a thing.
Mm-hmm. I think of the flood. I think of the ground opening up and swallowing Korah and all of his followers.
Yes.
I think of the earthquake when Jesus died.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are all natural.
That's awesome.
Natural things that happened.
Yeah, the plagues.
If you call it natural. So what, like I said, what we call natural is kind of unnatural in some ways too. Actually happens. I mean, earth opening up is.
Well, yeah, that's pretty, you know, extreme.
Mm-hmm. Well, the earth is the Lord's, right? And the fullness thereof. And he can do whatever he wants. And sometimes he's going to allow consequences of people's sin to be visited in a certain way.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's Jonah's storm, right? To redirect him. It says the Lord hurled a tempest on the sea. So I believe you don't want to backpedal so much and say like God is a deist God who's totally hands off and he won't ever, you know, stoop to use these things, because he will. The whole Bible will contradict that. Revelation will contradict that. So
it's sad. Yeah, I think there are some things that we look at that are really cool things and we go, yeah, God was there delivering people, like when they went through the, Jordan. Mm-hmm. And the waters backed up, and stopped way upstream somewhere, Adam or wherever that town was. I'm thinking, what about those poor people in that town? Like it doesn't say that the water stopped coming. I mean, from where their source
was. The drought was over.
They just like, the drought was over, yes. Talk about a tidal surge, I mean, anyway.
Yeah.
And they're upstream, they're like, I hope those 3 million get through soon.
But is every natural disaster an act of God? I know you have a story like about acts of God.
Insurance-wise, I was going to say insurance-wise, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't you have a story about an act of God that happened to you?
No.
Oh, man. I thought you were going to tell it. Anyway, but yeah, go ahead.
What story is that? I don't remember what it was.
You said one time a branch hit you or something.
Oh, that act of God. Yeah. That was...
That was really an act of God, though. He was
it probably was.
Trying to get this guy.
Yeah. I shouldn't tell that story.
But, I mean, this could be a good question, though. Like, maybe Liz wants to speak to it.
Well, I was going
to
say, I do not believe that every natural thing that happens in the earth is like a direct will of God saying, I am sending this for this reason. And especially when people start to attribute things to judgment, mm-hmm. I think that it gets really out of bounds very quickly.
Yeah.
I think God will judge the earth, but I don't believe that that's his method of judgment at this point.
Yeah. Right. I think the earth is spinning in sin and death, and God just happens to use some of those things mm-hmm. to work what he's, you know, accomplishing.
Yeah.
I mean, and so some of those things just happen and we just think, oh, you know, is he a mean God? We're trying to put him in a box and define him. He's a mean God. And it's like, no, that spinning was started by man and sin came in and sin has this effect all over the place. And God's like, well, I guess we can just use that here.
You can
redirect it, if you will. I think there's some of that also. It just happens.
Let me give you guys a cool scripture I found. It says, the Lord rules the raging of the sea. When its waves rise, you still them. You crushed Rahab, which was a sea monster, like a carcass. You scattered your enemies with your mighty arm. The heavens are yours. The earth also is yours. Mm-hmm. Psalm 89:9. And I was just thinking, like, all the way through the Old Testament, you have this idea of the hostile waters. You have the waters that God has to fight against and put under his thumb and under his feet. You have Yom, you have a Leviathan, you have Rahab. Like, you have the sea that's churning, right, with the nations. And it's like this whole idea is that there's chaos in God's world that's from sin. It's from supernatural evil. A lot of times it's Satan that is throwing these things. Like in Job 1, Satan throws lightning at Job's sheep. When Jesus is floating around on the Sea of Galilee, a storm comes and he rebukes the storm the way that he would rebuke Satan.
Right.
So there's this idea that most, I would say actually, my current perspective from a lot of study is that most natural evil is actually demonic. Like it's actually sent from the demonic realm, or it's been in some sense from the curse or influenced by, it's a work of the devil is really what it is. You know, and like you said, sometimes God will redirect it. He's able to rule over these things. He's able to close the doors of the sea. But a lot of the time it's these primordial forces of chaos. Like that's really what's going on. So I think, you know, we have to realize Satan is also behind a lot of this stuff. Before we go and blame God, it could be the God of this age. It could be the prince of power of the air. You know, why are we diminishing
the Lord of the flies? Beelzebub, right? He's that fly that got poor Liz here. Oh. Yeah, sent right from the pit.
Liz.
Yeah. So I don't know. Do you guys think Satan ever does anything like that? Have you ever witnessed anything like that or had those thoughts? I don't know.
Yeah, I think he does bad stuff. I think he's, but this gets into the sovereignty of God. I think God allows it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Satan just acts naturally the way what comes natural to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ravage everything up.
So he is that lion.
So what does God think about this? Has he ever done anything to fix any of this? We got this cursed world. We got Satan running wild. We got, you know, storms and floods and famines and wildfires. And what did God do about this? Like, has he ever offered to do anything about it?
Well, I think he did intervene a couple of times. I think with his son, he showed us that he could intervene in all sorts of stuff, you know, natural. And, you know, we see not just his son, actually, we see people in the past, you know, slowing down time and doing all sorts of strange stuff, you know, stopping rain. And, you know, I think that God, a person in line with the purposes of God, has the potential to do things that affect our environment and the world. But I want to go on record as saying that that's not just to show off or to display that you're so good and you have so much faith, and you know, it's not to do tricks. Like, I'm doing Christian tricks now. Mm. Like, God, you know, he's not like that. I think there has to be a purpose for those things, mm-hmm. or else, and you know, I hear people, you know, say interesting things like, oh, how come people aren't walking on water now? It's like, because mm-hmm. they don't have to. Like, you know, but if you make it like a thing, then everybody's trying to walk on water, you know, and that's their purpose, that's their focus. Or, you know, everybody's trying to bring up, you know, some of the plagues of, you know, from Moses' times. Like, it's not necessary. It actually, there was a purpose for these things, not just random, you know, somebody wanted to look good. And I think, I'm going to just speak it this way. Mm-hmm. I think there are a lot of Christians who think they're, you know, they attribute it to some kind of faith. Like, okay, I have faith. I can, you know, yes, we have faith to move mountains, right? And so it's like, I'm going to go move some mountains right now. It's like, why would God want you to do that? Like, exactly why? Mm-hmm. Now, if there was a reason and a purpose in a moment, I believe, and you stepped into that place of authority and took it, I think it would be accomplished. I think if there had to be another opening of the seas, it would happen.
Yeah.
But just to do it, just to show that you have faith or you can do, you know, God tricks. It's like, really? I mean, it's like we're just making God this little plaything. Yeah, and I think it's dishonoring to him, actually. Yeah. And so I think that Christians need, especially Christians, because, you know, people don't know God. They don't really care. But Christians,
I can't just decree anything I want.
Yeah, that's it. Name it and claim it, brother. You know,
we have a charismatic audience here. I mean, it should be said. Like, you can't necessarily just do
it. And it doesn't mean, right. But it doesn't mean we shouldn't believe. We should believe, really, like, to the uttermost. I guess we should be believing, but we should be believing with a purpose, not with just random weird stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I mean, I don't know. That's just my belief, my little personal belief here sitting in this corner. Yeah. But
it's good. Yeah. I mean, I think ultimately what God, you know, what he's done about all these things is he became a curse for us mm-hmm. on the cross. He took the curse on himself. And he was raised again as the second Adam. He brought in a new humanity, hopefully through the church, the new humanity. We're reversing the curse, and we're actually helping to reveal the glory of the sons of God. And we're helping to bring compassion and help and healing and to take authority back over this age.
Well, let me also help some people, because I know some people are like, Bob, is that your opinion or is that scriptural? Well, there were a couple of guys. They were rebel rousers, okay? And they hung out with this other rebel rouser guy called Jesus. And they one day decided, hey, how about we call some fire down from heaven? That would be a really good trick. And Jesus is like, you don't know what spirit you're of. Like, you don't get, like, what was your purpose? This is not in line with the purposes of God right now. And by the way, they must have believed they could do it.
Yeah.
Like, that's a whole nother amazing thing. So things like natural disasters, you know, like, let's call down, you know, an earthquake into a modern day Sodom and Gomorrah and see what it's like. Really?
Like, yeah, I mean, didn't he say, like, do you think the people that the Tower of Siloam fell on them?
Right.
That's a natural disaster. It's probably from a hurricane or wind or something.
Right.
He's like, do you think they were worse sinners than anyone else?
Right.
No, like, unless you repent, you will likewise perish. So we're not using natural disasters like fire from heaven to show who the guilty is and who the righteous is. And, well, I hope God throws a hurricane on those Buddhists or on those Islamists or what. It's like, that's just not our prayer. Like,
it's so easy to go there. What we're doing. Don't you think it's so easy to go there? People, you hear that all the time.
A lot of people said that in the tsunami in 2004. Yes. Said, oh, those are all pagan, you know?
Yeah. I think it gives Christianity a black eye when that happens, because they're not getting it. Now, guess what? If God was actually happening to use that, we still, being God's representatives on the earth, would want, you know, repentance from people there, care for their lives, you know, help. You know, that tsunami you talk about, I remember walking on a beach in India with a pastor that visits here, and he's like, when that tsunami hit, there were 100,000 people on this beach laid out dead. Mm. From one end of the, as far as you could see, just laid out, and then mass graves and all.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's real. That's like serious stuff. And to go, well, that was just God's judgment on India at that moment or that spot. It's like, wow, okay.
You know, total disconnect. Yeah.
Right. That's what I was saying. It's just that's another out of order form to say that this, I understand why God did this. It's because you're in sin. I think that's so it so misrepresents who God is. And it just attributes things to him that he didn't cause. He didn't. Right. I don't know.
And if he did, we're not the judges of that.
Right.
That's the deal. That's the thing. It's just, I think people go off really, and historically people have gone off like saying, we are right and you are wrong. And so we have a right to bring judgment against you. You know, look at the Crusades. Look at a lot of things that were done in the name of God saying we are on the right side of this. We can judge correctly and you are in the wrong. And this is why this is okay that this happened to you. I just think it's such a travesty, really. And God is represented so wrongly that way. I mean, his desire is that no one should perish, that all should come to the knowledge of God, like all should repent, you know, and be saved. Like that is his desire. So I think that, and just because he uses something doesn't mean he caused it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, you know, like when Joseph, he's like, what you meant for evil, there's people who made conscious choices and the Lord used them all for his purposes. He did not make anyone do those things, but he's sovereign enough and omniscient enough that he knows all the moves before they're going to happen and he works it. So I think we have to view them not as like, yes, I stand with God in condemning you in these things, as like, this is an opportunity, even in the middle of travesty, to show you the love of God, which is what I see like with these two recent things that have happened. Yeah. I mean, you just hear like with Helene that people are saying like, you know, FEMA wasn't there, didn't have any, and so many people are saying that the local churches, they're the ones that have stepped up, are giving help, are providing shelter, providing support, sending money, sending supplies. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's the portrayal of God, is that even in the middle of horrible disasters and loss of life and loss of death, he's not up there going like, you got what you deserved. He's like, let me come in the middle of that with you, because this is the whole reason Jesus came, to be in it with you and to show you love and to show you compassion and to show you that you are valued and that there's someone that cares in the middle of that.
That's good. I also would like to go on record as saying that what we are explaining here is not, you know, we will make discernment or judgment calls on things. We're not going, everything's beautiful, everything's good, and nothing gets God's, you know, wrath against you. That's not what we're saying, because God, you know, there are things that God sees, and their sin, and their it's against him. It's directly against him, and we should be able to judge those things and go, that thing is against God. It's against his principles, against his word, period. Mm-hmm. But what we're saying is, we're not going to just attribute every single natural disaster to God's wrath on everything and everybody for every reason.
Are we going to be like, you know, Jonah standing outside Nineveh? Come on, God, like, get him, you know?
Go get him.
I mean, it took a lot for Jonah to actually go warn them, which is actually what we should be doing. Mm-hmm. But I love how you said that, because really the church, I think, is God's response to these things. Like, it's obviously through Christ, that was his ultimate response in the judgment day when he's going to renew the earth. But in the meantime, it's we are his response. We can pray to prevent these things, but we can also come and help people, and we can give resources, and we can love and have compassion, and we can stop being jerks saying that people deserve it and other people don't.
Well, how many Christians are affected by these things?
Oh, yeah. I just better people
like,
than,
or what, are
than
they like, so. Well, they're religious Christians, or they're, you know what I mean? It's like, where does it stop?
Selective killing.
And you know, like,
Those were the Baptists.
The rain falls on the just and unjust alike. Right. Like, how can you say that, that it's because of this or because, I don't know.
It's a total lack of humility of like, yeah, okay, they deserve to get judged. I'll grant you that, but don't you?
So
doesn't every single person?
Right.
We forgot step one of Christianity? We need forgiveness from God. We're worthy of judgment, but he took the judgment on himself. Mm-hmm. He took the curse on himself to free us.
Also, I start thinking about like the father of our faith, father of faith, Abraham, and him making intercession for a horrible people, right? By God, by every standard, God's standard and all that. And him going interceding like, hey, can we just some? If there's some, will you stop? Will you not? So he's his heart, and he's showing us as the father of faith, his heart, and probably what we need to do, you know, moving forward, is to intercede with God about just life and things that are happening and ahead of time, yeah, rather than, you know, just afterward, like, oh God, you know, and yes, we will.
God, why?
It's yeah, like, well, you know, yeah, it's like,
I don't know.
Yeah. But I think there's a place, a position of priesthood there, actually, that you take where you enter into intercession with the, you know, intercessor in heaven. You join with him and actually make intercession for the, for this life we're in, this world, because it will affect, like you said, the just, and it will affect people who are, you know, trying to walk with God also.
Right.
And not just, you know, we can't just put it on, oh, those are all just the, you know, the unwashed masses.
Right.
They all needed that and right, you know, deserve that. It's wrong.
Which is, one of you guys mentioned Job earlier.
Yes.
Like how many accusations, like, well, you must have done something wrong.
Right.
You know, and he's like, I'm just living my life. So, you know, just trying to please the Lord. Was he, you know, I don't know.
Well, Job is really interesting because there's the two systems, right?
Right.
There's Job's system, which is God did this to me. It's his, he did it. Mm. And then it's the friend system. You did it. Mm. You're responsible.
Right. Right.
It's either you or it's God. Well, actually, what if it was the curse? What if it was Adam? What if it was Satan? What if it was chaos? What if it was the waters that are torrential and unpredictable? Mm. What if it's this element that the same fire that can burn in wood that can burn in my wood stove and give me warmth can start a wildfire? Like what if all these things are at play and it's a little bit more complicated than just you must ascend, or oh God, you must be one of the reprobate. God's always wanted to throw his wrath down on you.
Right.
You know, well, it's a little bit more complicated than either of those two boilerplate cliches.
Actually, there's a simplistic answer to that complicated situation with Job. Both his comforters, his friends, and Job should have just shut up.
And that's what God said.
Right. They should have just shut up. That was the bottom line.
Who's like, this that darkens?
Right.
Yes. Like, just shut up. And that's the lesson is like, you don't know. You don't know why these things are happening. Don't get out there and say, this is why it's happening. Especially don't say, thus saith the Lord. This is why this is happening. You don't know.
Yeah.
Right. It's like crazy.
What about don't the prophets know? Can't they be like, well, God did this because this after the fact, right? To get yeah, follows afterward. on their Instagram, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
That's
it.
Yeah,
but I don't know. Anything else you guys can think of that the church maybe should be doing in response to this? I mean, we talked about prayer, talked about the local communities, but is there anything else on your mind for this? Like,
yeah, I mean, yes, praying and interceding for these places is essential,
yeah,
and a responsibility of the church. And we saw that, you know, cause I know we're referencing recent events, you know, with Milton, actually things lessened, at the absolutely, last minute from what they were supposed to be. And the wall of the eye broke before, as soon as it hit the land. Like, so I do believe the Lord intervened. Mm-hmm. I know there was still a lot of damage that's done and there's a lot of help that's needed there, but there were a lot of people praying,
yeah,
that the Lord would, intervene and that there'd be mercy there. Also I just think about, you know, Joseph, he understood that there was a natural event coming. The Lord gave him insight into that and he prepared.
Yeah.
And there's an attitude of preparation, not just for your own life and care for people beyond just your own life, that I think is really important. Mm. And I think I'm really proud of the churches that were able to step up and provide resources and provide help. And I hope that churches all across our nation, especially right for this conversation, are realizing that we who are not affected should be helping,
yeah,
you know, in that area, because there's spiritual resources and there's natural resources. But I think preparation is a big key.
Mm. Good point.
I agree with that. And I know, like, just from our point of view here at our church in the past, with other natural disasters, earthquakes in Haiti, previous hurricanes that have come through the United States, where some of our people have actually gone and volunteered to help there.
Yeah.
As well as we send resources and send things. Mm-hmm. But we also, traditionally, our church has done things like that, mm-hmm, you know, just to help, actually physically help somebody. Yeah. And I think what happens is when you're right in the middle of it, and it's great to be able to send help, but sometimes that's limited. It's limited because, you know, the you know, do you have the bandwidth to go and take care of things? And it's all the way across the country and all that stuff. And then when you get there, they have to take care of you too. So there's some of that balance, but the people who are in it and the churches who are right in the middle of a natural disaster, I believe they're most equipped by God to actually affect the situation. Mm-hmm. Because if they're walking after God, then they're considering others more than themselves.
Yeah.
And that little detail of human response and human nature, if you will, is so different than what the world, you know, everybody's, you know, dog eat dog. I'm out to, you know, save myself and, you know, I don't care. You know, I'm just a hunker down here and heck with the rest of you. Mm-hmm. But that's so different than what God calls his people to be a light and to be a salt and help in the time when it's happening. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that we're at that moment actually laying down our lives in the place we're in. So, you know, that's actually how I see it. There's an actual call to the church in a local spot to be the church in that moment. Mm-hmm. And you can't back away from that. Churches cannot back away in the moment. Like I said, there are churches like ours and many others I know of who send resources and maybe send money and all that, but that helps. Mm-hmm. But it's somewhat limited because of the distances and all the other, you know, trying to get things there and get it there effectively, because mm-hmm. that's a whole nother thing. Because when things like this happen, there's so much confusion that goes on with it that you start sending resources and people don't get the resources. Mm-hmm. They end up in weird places or people's pockets that shouldn't be there. That happens. And to have people on the ground that you can trust, where you can send resources to, that's a very important thing. Because mm-hmm. There's always, in natural disasters, there's always going to be people who will be the world and they will take advantage mm-hmm. of the pain. Yeah. And it's sad, but it's true.
Yeah.
That, I always think, is the second natural disaster that hits.
Well, it's the person disaster.
Yeah. Yes. It's the taking
voluntary
advantage.
Disaster.
Yes, it's the taking advantage.
Yeah.
And it's a very natural way of being.
Yeah, you see that in Africa all the time. There's been a famine or there's been some drought, and then there's people just swooping up all the aid relief,
mm-hmm.
and becoming, you know, warlord of a country and stuff like that. And so that's...
Yeah, I'm just going to go political on us for a little bit here right now, if you guys don't mind, because I think it's true. You know, the thing that happened in Haiti, you know, with the earthquake years ago, I don't know if you guys remember, but there were billions and billions of dollars raised for that place.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at that place now, it doesn't look like billions of dollars made it there.
Oh, they made it there.
Oh, yeah. And they made it gone.
That's why
on
Haiti
some of these
has the
jet.
Highest number of millionaires per capita.
Right, right. They have a couple of really cool billionaires, mm-hmm. and everybody else is like, what happened? Like, what happened there?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where I'm saying we have to be careful how we respond to those disasters, like to have specific places. We actually, you know, our church here, we actually have people on the ground, you know, directly that could help facilitate the response we send.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really a big thing. And so
should you not help if you don't have someone there?
I think you have to be very careful how you help then. I think you have to be very discerning, and you should look into when people are asking, you know, whether it's a governmental agency, which are very ineffective, by the way, because they spend most of the money before it gets there,
mm-hmm.
Or if it's a group, like, you know, let's say a Christian group that's trying, or maybe even a local group that's, you know, kind of NGO benevolent people. Yeah. Look into their track record. I would look into it, because you could just be throwing it away, to be honest with you. And
that's some good wisdom.
And traditionally, that's what's happened.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what's happened. Like I said, it's the second disaster
that
follows the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Kind of strange, huh?
I don't know. Do you have anything else on your mind?
No. Well, I mean, do we want to recommend for this specific event? I know we're putting this
East now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think I've heard that Samaritan's Purse is on the ground there, mm-hmm. and they're doing doing a lot of work. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, with, you know, the Graham Foundation and all that, I think that they are traditionally have been like reputable people that yeah. are just, yeah. you That's could trust, crazy. You know, and sometimes early on there's, it's sometimes I think better to, if you're going to send finances, to wait till the dust settles a little and see what's still going, what's there, and actually make contact directly with those agencies there. Because yeah. these people, the Red Cross, I believe, has traditionally been a very good response team. And they are interesting because I, from what my knowledge, and I know one of my sons actually went and volunteered for a few weeks years ago on a disaster. Yeah. But they will actually train you first. They actually just send you there untrained and just like, hey, I hope that all works out. Because like I said, you get there and you're not doing, you really, you're more in the way than your help. and then there's some things too, I think, you know, a lot of times people want to like send stuff, like send clothes and send blankets, which sounds nice, except the cost to send it and then just dealing with it doesn't work a lot of times. It's actually counterproductive. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that stuff just ends up just stuck someplace. So yeah, it's, it takes some discernment, takes some time, but yeah, I think the one or two that I mentioned, I think I would recommend maybe as possible, outlets to help. Yeah. I'm sure there's yeah. others.
I mean, I know we're also in fellowship with what is it, Destiny Fellowship Network.
Yes.
Yeah. Who's they are just a network of churches that have connections all over that side mm-hmm. of the country who can actually just give money mm-hmm. directly as needed.
Right.
There's not a bunch of overhead
right.
Costs there. So just if I know people have been asking like
right.
they want to help and they're not sure like who's reputable mm-hmm. and who actually mm-hmm. like can give money to knows what's going on and can give money right. where it's needed. So
yeah, and with disasters like this too, it's important to remember that it the disaster has this continuing effect and it goes for quite a while. And rushing to do it right now, it may work in some cases, but in some places it doesn't. Right now, I mean, some of these people obviously, and we have friends that have been over there. What they need is right now is, you know, sustenance just to live, mm-hmm. You know, just to, you know, there's long-term effects here. Mm-hmm. If someone's got a house that's been underwater, mm-hmm. they ain't fixing that this right. week.
Or a business.
That's yeah. not happening oh, this yeah. week. So, it's going to take months or years for mm-hmm. that to recover. Mm-hmm. And we have to be real about mm-hmm. that. And what happens a lot of times, there's this big push for help. And then forgotten afterwards. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And so what does that look like? And like I said, I think, you know, if you have direct connections to people, you can actually, if you want to really go help, then you might want to go help that person.
Maybe if you're really good on the phone, like my wife,
yeah.
you could call the insurance company for these people. Yes. And, like fight the insurance yes. company for them.
That would be quite
the That
quite
would be such a good ministry.
Oh my gosh. It would be
and bad. you need a.
Are we going to get thrown off YouTube for bringing up all these?
You need a hardcore person to do that for you.
So, yes.
That could be a good ministry for some of the more
yeah.
ornery listeners out there.
You know?
Yeah. Determined.
Yes.
steadfast. Anyway. But yeah.
But if all else fails, send all your money to Liz. Yes. And she
I'll get it where it needs to go.
Oh boy.
She'll take care of it.
Miwok suddenly has a higher per capita
yes.
millionaires.
One more millionaire has just come.
Yeah. The Haiti of Northern California.
Oh my God.
That's it.
No, don't quote me on that. So you know what's been interesting though, and I've seen disasters, is I've always just thought it's incredible how fast actually people rebuild. Mm-hmm. Things that are just totally devastated.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, this is never going to be put back together. I was thinking we had this windstorm and all these trees fell over and we had a blizzard with, you know, I think it was like 3 or 4 feet of snow. We drove through a little town near here, Sierra Village, and just all the trees were down, their houses smashed. It looked like a war zone.
I was living there.
You were there when that happened. I was in a different neighborhood and a tree hit our house and crushed half the roof.
Yeah.
And it was crazy. But you drove through. You couldn't even drive because there's trees blocking.
God was judging you too.
Yeah, probably.
And of course, at my house there was peace.
Yeah, the blood of Jesus was over your house.
But, it had to be that, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Actually, sacrificed.
Yeah.
But I remember just thinking like, this can't be rebuilt. Like, this is going to take decades to get back to normal. And within a couple months, I mean, you could drive through and it was like nothing happened. I mean, a couple houses still hadn't been fixed, but everything was clear. You know, things were sort of put back together. And I just couldn't believe how fast it could be brought back. So just maybe that's a word of hope for somebody that if you keep going, you keep enduring, people want to help, you know, people want to band together, and you can see the resilience of humanity, mm-hmm. even though we're getting crushed by stuff that's so far out of our league in terms of power in these storms, we have a lot of resilience mm-hmm. to us.
God, that's so good. I think God actually, that's where God actually uses these things to, I think for people personally, to build in us a hope, you know, like we're, or condition us so that we don't always, when we see a disaster, immediately go to pieces and it's all over and there's no hope and God has forsaken us. And, you know, we're, and so, yeah, the first time you're faced with some of that, you're looking like same thing, you know, our neighborhood is like, wow, wow, this is interesting. How long is this going to, you know, it seems, you know, insurmountable.
It's over.
But it's over. Let's curse God and die, you know. But
I left and went to the ocean. Yeah, that was my response. Just I did.
I know some people just.
Smart people actually evacuate. Yeah. But.
They clear the power lines and I can actually get out.
Yes. I drove through those power lines for days, actually. It's kind of weird.
But then you go to Santa Barbara and they have mudslides and fires, right. And then you have to leave that place.
But I do believe it does help work in us when we, because I don't know if, you know, things could potentially get worse. Just saying, it could get worse down the line. And what then? Are we going to be just hopeless and just like, oh, all is lost, you know, at the end? Or will we have in us, worked in us, a faith that says, okay, this is bad, and people have lost things, and some people lost lives, and we might weep with them, mm-hmm. and, you know, we need to,
right.
But we also have to look to the hope mm-hmm. that God has birthed in us and worked in us. And sometimes he does that. It's not just instantaneous. Sometimes it's going through things, and that's the work that happens.
I think it's a good point. Like, when people are lost, that's not replaceable, right? I think, like, at the end of Job, it says that the Lord gave Job double everything that he had, but it says he had 7 sons and 3 daughters, where before he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. So he didn't get 6 daughters and 14 sons. He just got 7 more and 3 because they hadn't really been lost.
You know, I lost the numbers. Can you go through those numbers again?
He didn't. The only thing he didn't double was the kids. Okay. Because it was like he didn't actually lose them because they were with God. You know, and so like you have to think about that. That it's like the people are so important. Everything else, we do have the resilience and God can restore that. But there's also that comfort that, you know, is from God that
absolutely
he has the people that passed away. So
yeah.
I was going to say that.
But, yeah. I'm laughing because I'm just remembering this guy was talking about Job and he's like, you know, God, everything was like, oh, your servants killed, your livestock killed, your kids killed. He's like, how horrible was Job's wife that God was not like, you know, like, what about his wife? He's like, oh no, she's all part of this. Like she gets to stay. Like, I don't need to take her away.
Wait a minute, she was part of the she was an instrument, God's
like,
hand.
How horrible was she that he was like, oh, I'm leaving her.
And if he would have lost her, he would have got to have 2 wives.
Right.
God would have doubled that.
You notice that God didn't give her a lot of input into the Bible. Just a couple of words and that's it.
I guarantee you she had more input to Job than what is written down.
He was nice enough. You think about it. The Holy Spirit's so nice. He could have said Jane, Job's wife, but he didn't say, he just said Job's wife.
He didn't name her, right?
Or he just said,
it's like, I can see her in there. Like, Job, are you going to bring all that dust in here with those ashes? Just get out, stay out.
Get those pus blisters off our sheets.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
That was gross. Was
a little Job humor. A little Job humor to lighten the mood. It's a real laugh track in the Bible, the book of Job. Really. You know. Well, what about... Okay. I have one more question. Are we ever going to be free of this stuff, this curse? Is this stuff ever going to be gone?
In the end.
Sing it. I don't know the song.
It's a good song.
A Beatles song.
Is it a Word of Life song or a Beatles song?
It's a Beatles song.
Oh, good. Okay, that's good.
Oh,
I love you. Yeah. This is the love you take is equal to the love you make. That's okay, in the end is the point. In the end,
nice.
You'll be free.
There's no place for a Beatles song right here.
Imagine. No natural disasters.
Imagine doesn't belong here.
Imagine there's no hurricanes.
Maybe yesterday. All right, we did enough Beatles songs here for Liz.
Keep going. Yeah.
But, so what was the question again?
Is this stuff ever going to be over? All this bad stuff.
Yes.
Is ever going to be over?
The new world.
Awesome. Okay, I just wanted to end with that.
That's my answer. Yes.
I mean, that is our ultimate hope.
New earth, new heaven, lions and lambs.
Isaiah 11. Lambs. You get to play with a cobra. It doesn't even bite you. I don't know if that's figurative language.
Swim with the sharks.
Swim with the sharks.
With no cage. In the Oh, there's no sea, though. There's no sea.
There's a sea.
Well,
we'll see yellow submarine in the crystal sea.
Now we're getting into end time.
There is sea in heaven. There has to be. Otherwise, it wouldn't be heaven. There has to be some form of water.
Yeah. The sea was the chaos thing that there's no
the
chaos.
People are the
crystal sea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, good. Yeah. I mean, I look forward to that day. No more of this.
Unless some of creation didn't get the memo and then, you know, that cobra bites you. It's like, hey, God. It's like, oh.
He's like, oh, I missed one.
He's like, it wasn't going to hurt you because you were supposed to be smart enough in the new creation not to put your hand on it. But that didn't work out for you.
Apparently, you didn't get a new heart.
Oh, my gosh.
But then I guess it would just resurrect you if you actually were stupid and you died.
Right.
You know, you just, okay, we'll bring him back to
life. Wait a minute, is that the third death? Wait a minute, what's going on?
This is not theology right now.
No, no. This is vain speculation.
Laughing through theology.
Well. Well, maybe Pastor Bob.
Yes, sir.
Our great leader. Maybe you can pray for us and just pray even for those that have been affected.
Yeah.
And pray for hope.
That's on my heart, too.
Yeah. Just allow, you know, God's presence to come on them. And,
absolutely. Yeah,
thank you.
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, we just lift up our lives to you and the lives of those that are affected, Father, all around this world. Father, there's a few things we've heard here in the United States, but there's things going on all over, Father. And Father, for anybody being affected, for them specifically, it is a disaster. Mm-hmm. So, Father, I pray that your grace and your mercy would be extended to those in our world here today, oh God. I intercede with you, oh God, that you would bring comfort, strength, peace, Father. That you bring healing to those that need healing, Father. Father, that you would just comfort the hearts of those who have lost so much. But Father, most importantly, Father, you just draw them to yourself. So we just commit, Father, these situations into your hands, Father, especially the things that happened just the recent days in the United States, Father. I pray that you touch the lives of families and friends and people, Father, on the East Coast, Father, that your strength and your mercy would be their portion.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name, Father, just thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for just drawing so many to yourself through this, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
See you guys next time. Thank you for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to get the latest episode. And for more information, visit spiritschoolofministry.com.